recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, get it on. Got to get on. Just being on. I'm Rose and Drew over there, board-certified physician.
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
Couldn't understand a word you said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff. So, do you know that on campus there's some weird stuff going on now where I've been doing a lot of coverage of this on my radio program, and apparently now if you have an unpleasant face, like if you make somebody uncomfortable with your face, like you look angry or mean or disdainful or your eyes drift because you're thinking person's maybe not making sense, expelled. What about resting bitch face? You're toast.
Oh, man.
You're toast. A resting jerk face. You're absolutely dead. You might as well not go to school.
Well, it's insane. Look. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, bud.
Blah-blah.
No, just buddy. I'll look at Gary and Matt as well.
Yes, sir.
Progressive movement. It's got the word progress and movement. There's no part of progressive movement that says done and done. It's moving on. Start with segregation and separate drinking fountains and women's right to vote and stuff like that. But do not think there is no finish line. There is no finish line. So it's like, hey, the Klan wants to come to Berkeley to have a rally. No, 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 no. And you go, okay, now we're having teachers who screw up the pronoun on some they had some student that was a he for three semesters and then came back over the summer break and was called now a she, and then he screwed up and said he didn't, blah, blah, and now that guy's fired. It doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's called progressive. It also has the word movement in it. If you think about what both, you look up the word movement, Gary, and look up the word progressive, and if you see the definition of progress and movement, you will see it's in the title.
We need the Progresso movement.
Yeah, more
pasta.
More soup.
More soup.
I've got them here if you want them.
Let me tell you first that this show is brought to you by LifeLock.com, promo code M. TheraWorks. Minestrone soup.
Yeah,
TheraWorksRelief.com and TrueCar.com. Yes.
What would you like to start with?
I would like the overall title, and I'll let you go back and look this up, but what the definition of the progressive movement is, or how it could be defined, not in a pejorative way, but just sort of what is the definition of a progressive movement, and then we will see if it ever ends. Because we all sit around and go, and now they're this, and now that, and now, of course, now they're moving on. The whole separate drinking fountain thing or women's right to vote, that's 100 years ago, man. We got to move. We got to keep going. Go ahead.
So when you search for the definition of the progressive movement, what you come up with is a lot of stuff about the progressive era in the late 1890s into the 1920s.
Hmm.
So I can read you those definitions and I can keep looking.
If you just went to like dictionary.com and looked up progressive and movement, just the two words?
Well, we're doing that. But I'm just saying, what is the modern day definition of if you spoke to somebody who had a couple of brain cells to rub together, and if you said to Alan Dershowitz, how would you define the progressive movement, what would he say? What's the tenets of it? I don't want to dig into it too deep before we figure it out.
Progressivism in the United States is a broadly based reform movement that reached its height in the early 20th century. It was a middle class reform and reformist in nature. It arose as a response to the vast changes brought by modernization, such as growth of large corporations, pollutions, and fear of corruption in American politics. In the 21st century, progressiveness continues to embrace concepts such as environmentalism and social justice. Much of the movement has been rooted in and energized by religion.
What?
That's from the
religion.
That's from the Wikipedia for progressivism, which is what came up when I put in progressive movement.
Hold on, Gary. I'll just say it one more time. We have to find out what the definition of as of this day, because if you go back.
What if you said progressive politics? That's just
progressive politics. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. We'll get a definition of it. Religion part feels weird.
I wonder if that's somebody, you know, people add weird stuff.
They add stuff. Yeah. Or they add stuff to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a funny impulse that it's two things. It's funny thing to do it to someone else's wiki page, and it's also funny thing to kind of be the custodian of yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things that I think happens to like Dennis Prager all the time. They just put stuff on there that he can't.
Here
get off
go.
Of there.
Here it's got. It's really under progressivism. Progressivism is the support for or advocacy of improvement of society by reform, based on the idea of progress, which asserts that advancements in science.
Hold
technology-
on. Improvement of society by reform.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was needs to change,
yeah.
So that we can improve ourselves. Mm-hmm. So with your resting bitch face, or. What's his name? Stuffed his bra over the summer. Now he is a she, and you better fucking get your shit right. Is all formerly things that existed, and now they need to change.
Yep.
It's all about changing. And what I'm kind of saying is everything is in progress. Some things are progress, not everything.
It's true. I thought the idea of progress was a postmodern or a modern idea that postmodernism was rejecting, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. Let's see. It's hard to get it out of the Wikipedia. I would say that's about the best we're going to get is what I just read to you.
Well, that's it. All right. Yeah. So now we look up the word progress and we look up the word movement, and it's all in the title.
Let me just say, advancements in science, technology, economic development, and social organization are vital to the improvement of the human condition.
I like that part.
Yeah.
All right. Gary?
You want to start with progress?
Sure.
Forward or onward movement towards a destination.
Onward.
That's as a noun.
Towards
as a, verb.
A destination. Towards a destination. Never yeah. get there. But you're
no, no.
Towards.
It's a constant movement. Yeah. Yes.
And then you want to go to movement?
Sure.
An act of changing physical location or position of having this changed. That's weird.
All right. Well, change and moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not since the toaster oven, Drew, has a mission statement been more broad, clearly declared. That's what we're doing.
Toaster and oven right there.
Progressive movement. Mm-hmm. So all the stuff you thought was insane 5 years ago, we're there. And stuff you can't think of 5 years from now?
We're going there.
That's where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it's called, Drew? Progress. Progress.
Well, doesn't
progressive
it feel like,
movement.
Though, doesn't it feel like that there was a little... Now, I know you've been very outspoken the whole time, but I feel like the world generally was sort of in a stunned position for about 3 years while it sort of rolled along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that people have begun to go, what? Well, okay, you go do that on my campus, but I'm not going to support the alumni organization anymore. Enjoy. You know what I mean?
We're just getting there because the problem is some professor, some whomever gets called into some office and like, Frank, you're fired. Why? You called Geraldine Jerry.
Well, no,
I
no, no,
did? No.
No,
you're fired. And everyone is so on their heels. Like,
yeah.
They're like, and we've got your paperwork taken care of. We're going to have it filed. And you're like, people's first reaction is just sort of like, it's like being abducted.
Yeah.
Before we know they execute everybody they abduct. At first, it's like, all right, everyone get the zip ties on and get in the van. They're like, okay, just do what they say. We'll be back with our families in a couple weeks.
But now some of the tactics that have been used are being used against them, which is always what happens.
Right.
So now you have somebody like Garcetti goes to us. He can't speak because they yell him down. And so.
It is funny.
You know, and it's like, okay, well now it's a problem. Now we got to deal with this on campus stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, look, everybody out there who's on a Twitter fishing trip.
Yeah.
Understand they're going to find something on you, too.
Right.
And that's the way it works.
It's coming.
It eats itself, baby.
Leg, foot cramps, you know how painful and miserable they are? Well, they jolt you out of sleep. They prevent you from carrying out your daily activities, and they prevent you from exercising. Bad for your health. But with TheraWorks Relief, the non-greasy foam proven to relieve muscle cramps fast and reduce muscle soreness. Don't have to worry about that anymore. You can carry on. You can sleep. Plus, with daily use, TheraWorks Relief will prevent muscle cramps before they start. Use it a couple times a day. Takes only minutes to apply, absorbs quickly, and it does work. Been talking about it for a while. Holidays are here. Think about it as a gift for someone. If they're a sufferer, trust me, they are so excited about this, as I've found with my patients who hand it out to all their friends and things. You can get it at TheraWorks Leave today at Walmart, CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. And it's no longer the case that these poor folks who are so desperate for relief from these damn things have to go beg their doctor for a sedating medication. We used to use Valium, Robaxin, and Soma, all this stuff, and quinines, which were dangerous. All these goofy medicines that actually didn't work very well and were dangerous. Ask your pharmacist. They'll tell you about it. They'll also impress with TheraWorks. You can learn more about how to use TheraWorks Relief and where to get it at TheraWorksRelief.com.
All right. Want to try to take a couple of calls up here?
Let's do it.
Line six. Let's talk to John, 30, Vegas. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, now.
So, Dr. Drew, my issue basically is recently, well, I guess about a month ago, I made some new friends, a new group of friends, and it's, you know, something that's not always easy for me.
Right.
And things were going really, really good. But there's this one guy in the group that even, you know, before I got there, everybody would kind of make fun of, kind of like rag on, I guess, good-naturedly, you know, but he's just a very odd duck. And so I started hanging out with this group of guys, and I started sort of building on that with this running joke. I would just constantly work into the conversation that this guy sucked, and everybody thought it was funny, and it actually picked up a lot of steam, and it just became something like everybody in the group would did, and they worked together, a lot of these guys, so they at work would bother each other, and I would bother them, and everybody thought it was very, very funny, and so unfortunately, this other guy in the group, we were bothering all the time, all day, we were hitting them with prank phone calls and sending them stupid emails, and he finally snapped, and he flipped out on some of the other guys, and said some really mean things. And he even complained to their boss that I guess it was a big deal. So since then, it's been very weird. There's major tension. They haven't really spoken. It's strained my relationship with them too. And, you know, it's I don't know what to do. I feel responsible because I was sort of the catalyst for this whole thing, ripping on this stupid guy. And
Hold on a second. Drew.
Mason jar?
I don't know. How does it work? How does the processing of criticism / jokes
become
prodding,
bullying? Become bullying. Is that the question?
No. How is there such a vast difference in the way people process information? Why do we have such a wild spectrum of, you know, you say whatever you want to Mike August, he doesn't care.
Right.
They say whatever you want to his face, he does not care.
Right.
Then there are other people take offense to everything. And I mean, I'm assuming it's a narcissism because it has to be like, oh, that was for me. No, it's meant for me. No, you're talking about me. You meant tried to hurt me or whatever it is. I assume all roads lead to narcissism, well, but I'm just saying, like, genetically.
All roads lead to trauma, right? Reenactment.
I guess.
So it's reenacting. Everything is, oh, I know what this is. This is, you know, I'm the person that gets traumatized.
You can say whatever the fuck you want to Mike August, whenever the fuck you want to say it, however you want to fucking say it, and it doesn't make a difference to him. God damn.
Including slow down and don't go the wrong way on the street. Don't turn left here.
You do realize, you guys all hate Mike August. And I can say that. I say freely. He doesn't give a shit. I love Mike August for that one quality.
He doesn't give a shit about that either.
That's what I'm saying.
You loving him or them hating him?
Doesn't matter to him. You say whatever the fuck you want to say, whenever the fuck you want to say it in front of him, and it doesn't matter. Now, I'm assuming it's because he played football and his dad was a football coach. And he grew up in that environment where people freely told other people to fucking fix their shit now.
Now, even occurs to me, Brad Williams. Brad Williams was actively bullied by his dad to give him a tough skin so he wouldn't be affected by his body habitus, by his dwarfism. And I don't think you can say anything to Brad that would upset him, could you?
I don't either.
Yeah. It's interesting. Right?
John, I don't know that there's – I mean, you're wired like a chick, but I don't think there's much you can say to you either.
I get affected by stuff, but I don't experience it as bullying.
You don't think that maybe, like, this guy that flipped out, he's not even the guy that we make fun of. Like, the other guy, like, he just takes it in stride. I mean, he sucks. He knows he sucks. This guy, Sarge, and this other guy, he's just being a big baby, I think. But I don't know if I should be really the one to get involved here, if I should let these guys who work together work it out. I just don't know.
What was it that was said that flipped him out?
I think it was the repetition. It was all day. It was, you know, me, a few other guys, you know, would call him with, you know, a fake task or something urgent, and then it would end up just being, oh, Sarge sucks. And then, you know, so he would get an email, big, long, drawn out, you know, 2-3 paragraphs, and at the end, oh, and by the way, Sarge sucks.
Yeah.
It just was all right. You know, it was basically just a running joke.
Yeah, I get it. You know what you can do? You can just go, sorry, and then extricate yourself, like this sort of, my last statement is sorry, I'm saying, moving on. Whatever.
A little bit old to be engaging in this stuff.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
It's a little bit old for everyone to be engaging in everything nowadays, but it ain't.
Right,
it ain't, you know, so.
They weren't allowed to do it when they were teenagers.
Oh,
my God.
I can hear, you can say anything you want to me, but you have to make a case. I need you to prove it. You have to articulate your case.
About you.
Yes. If you have an allegation or beef or a problem or whatever it is, you're allowed to say it, but you can't just say it because you know it in your heart.
Like, right.
You need to explain evidence to me what it is. That's how I am.
Yeah.
And then if you do a good enough job of that, we can get on with our lives.
Yeah.
It has happened before.
Ooh, who did it? Mike August.
No, there's occasion. How dare you? Oh, no, yeah, Mike August will do it. Oh, yeah. Look, you're spinning as many plates as you're spinning, as I'm spinning on a daily basis. There's things that are going to get crossed and sideways and backwards and scheduling and whatever. And it's somebody, and there's going to need to be a discussion about it. And sometimes you screwed up. Sometimes I misunderstood. But sometimes it's just sometimes it has to do with the airlines and the scheduling and the whatever. And that's how you figure it out. Innocent mistakes. I'm all ears. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
But
like,
you
didn't show up in Oregon State? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that is one of those perfect examples of something that irks me. And one of the examples of how I'm wired.
Mm.
Which is, I was burnt out and tired of going out for the weekend for $3,000 a pop. And I certainly didn't want to get on another plane and go to another gig and stay at another motel. But I went to LAX. I got dropped off. I went to Southwest or Alaskan Airlines or whatever. And I was informed that the airport I was going to was fogged in and that they had canceled flights. And I then thought, good, but I had the feeling of, good, I don't want to go do the gig anyway, but I was at the airport waiting to get on the plane, and they canceled the flight. I did go to one or two other airlines, but it was the same condition at the same airport, which was socked in.
I thought I was trying to convince you to go to other airlines. If you did, I'd take it all back.
No, I did. I was already at the airport and I was going to not get paid, not do the job. Like, I was there. Like, I was ready to go at that point. The damage had been done. And I was informed that whatever airport in Portland or something was socked in. Mm. And so I went home, and it went down with you and my former manager as Adam didn't want to go to the gig, which is true. But I showed up to the airport, and the flight was canceled. So that'd be a tough one to prove in court. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's an exact perfect example of what I'm talking about, which is, yes, you're right. Yes, I didn't want to go. And yes, I was burnt out and tired, but you can't accuse me of blowing it off because I went down to LAX, got dropped off.
Lazy. That was not.
And the flight was canceled.
Yep.
Okay. Tell you about LifeLock while you're out. During the holidays, be careful using public Wi-Fi. Can be dangerous. Just because it's free doesn't mean it's secure. Also, hackers can create their own rogue hotspots with similar sounding network names to access the information sent and received over the network. They're always, I've never been more sure of this statement. Thieves are lazy.
Yeah.
They don't want jobs, and they certainly don't want to cut themselves breaking in a window or a patio door or get bit by a dog.
No.
They don't want that. They'd rather just rip you off from their home.
Why not?
Which
it's easier.
They will do when they steal your identity. That's why you need LifeLock. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices. Right, Drew?
Of course, no one can protect all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But no matter the season, LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help you look out for the threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for an extra 15% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
Josh, 40, Boulder.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just was thinking about what you were saying about how your own life is like, you know, you're balancing a bunch of plates. And I was thinking Trump is also doing the same thing. And, you know, if that guy goes crazy, then we're really screwed. And I was just wondering if you thought that he was maybe going a little crazy with all this pressure or not.
I don't think I think he's one of those guys. I don't want to say he thrives on pressure. I don't know anyone who thrives on pressure, but they can be motivated by pressure. Sort of like when people go, oh, he's got a fear of success. Like, all the losers I know don't have a fear of success. They have a fear of working really hard and then not being successful. Like, you know, not volunteering, but interning and doing all the shit they should do, all the schooling, all the training, all, and then not being paid.
Yeah.
If you told them you'll definitely get rich, you do all this shit, they'd probably do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, my experience with Trump is he's a, you know, when I did Celebrity Apprentice, he would come blowing in like at the last second, sit down, shoot, blah, 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 and get up and blow out again, and then get in, blow in again, and blow out again. That I experienced that in my own life on a much smaller scale. Just like blow in, yell, do this, do that, do everything, and then I leave again. And when you're in that state, you're constantly in that state, you're easily thrown out of balance if you stumble on something or things don't, because that state is predicated on everything working exactly right, because the stuff's going to be delivered on this day, the installers are showing up on that day, and if the stuff doesn't get delivered, then you're out of whack.
Yeah.
So there's a high chance, there's a high percentage of being out of whack. There's a high chance of agitation because you got a bunch of installers standing around and the tile hasn't shown up, and you're like, well, they said the tile was coming this morning, it's not here. Like, now you're agitated because these guys, there's this plate spinning thing.
It's called harried. You're harried.
You are harried. I see him as harried. There's also, I think he's one of those guys who thinks and may on occasion know better than whoever he's dealing with, and he doesn't get to do what he wants to do. And that drives guys like that nuts.
Is that you?
I'm that way.
Yeah.
He's probably that way too.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to go through the process and the building department's telling you to put chain link fencing around a tree you'll never get near, and you're like, that's a waste of time and a waste of money. And they go, just do it, or you can't get a permit. You're like, that drives you nuts, because
right.
It's like, then I'm going to have to take the chain link down when I'm done. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
And it's just like, it's up on the hill. It's not even close to where I am. They're like, just do it. That drives busy guys nuts. Because it's one more thing on your list, although it doesn't need to be on your list because it's useless. And it's become cathartic.
One of the things I'd speak to Anthony Scaramucci once in a while, like every couple of weeks. And one of the reasons I like talking to him, I'll go, hey, what do you talk to Trump? And they talk all the time. They were friendly before the White House, and they still talk. And just as recently as, I guess it was yesterday, Scaramucci said that that he's in great spirits. The Mueller thing doesn't concern him at all. He's super happy. He's getting stuff done. He's very calm. He could not be sort of more comfortable in his job. So in terms of crazy, it couldn't be further from that, at least as reported by people. Depends what you mean by crazy. But in terms of psychotic, it couldn't be further from what's being reported by people actually.
What about the idea that if, let's say you use a coping mechanism, you know, and Trump's coping mechanism is basically just to say, fuck you, get out of here. So let's say that coping mechanism starts to, like, be the source of the problem. Like, what happens to that person then? Because then there's no real way to deal with anything. Is your coping mechanism isn't working? It's making it worse, almost. I don't know. What's your comment on that, I guess?
Well, I don't know what his coping mechanism is. How is it? I don't know that it's fuck you, get out of here. I don't know what his coping mechanism is. I don't know if he has a coping mechanism.
Yeah, whatever he's done, he's always done.
He gets a lot of stuff. Look, if you're going to develop real estate in Manhattan or anywhere else, you're going to get a lot of no, or here's what you can't do,
right,
or here's what you can
I'm
do.
I'm going to sue you, and I'm a union leader and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's that sort of famous story of, like, Trump, and he wanted to build this golf course in Scotland, and the guy wasn't selling his sheep farm or whatever it is, and it was just a big deal. And I'm sure he lives that all day, every day. I mean, anyone in that position would. I don't know. Why do you know his default coping mechanism is fuck you, get out of here?
Well, because, like, how he deals with the reporters, basically, it's kind of like he just stops. He's like, that's it. You know, and people are like, oh, how dare you do this? This is, you know, this is terrible. You know, so if that becomes a problem, and he could do it when he had his business, because that's his business and it is fuck you. But when you're the president, people really get upset.
I think he feels like the press hates him. I think that's documented. I think he feels like when Jim Acosta's asking a question, he's not asking a question. He's just making a statement and grandstanding for right or for wrong and trying to get under skin. And I think he feels like, fuck you. This is a press conference, not Jim Acosta's moment in the sun. And also, I'm old fashioned, but I feel like there needs to be a question woven into your statement somewhere. And
have you watched? I told you to watch that Clinton Affair thing. Have you watched that yet?
My TV's. I'm moving. My TV's like whacked out.
You'll be so interested in watching.
I shall be. I try to switch it over to whatever. No, it's just what I said is I'm going to move in 2 weeks. I'll get it all sorted out, and then I shall watch it.
Wait till you see the press conferences. You'll be shocked how different they are.
Why?
Because
there's decorum.
Sam Donaldson stands up and goes, Mr. President, is it not the case that you lied in front of the kid? And if not, why would you have done such a thing? And please your answer, sir. And then he sits back down. And Bill Clinton goes, hey, I deferred all that to my attorneys. You've heard me answer this 100 times. Check out the formal report, blah, blah, blah. And they go, next question. That's it.
Yeah. I'm not that worried about it. Whatever he was, he still is. But I don't think it's getting to him.
Here's what is 60 seconds. That's how long I'm going to be talking to you about TrueCar. And during that time, you can get an offer for your car from TrueCar, from your smartphone to your computer. Enter your license plate number. Watch your car's details pop right up. Answer a few questions, and you will get a true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealers. They'll bring your car in. They'll check it out. You guys will look at it together, ask some questions, get some more answers. No surprises. You'll leave with your check. It is that easy. That is the TrueCar process, the TrueCar offer from a local TrueCar certified dealers. And if you don't want to leave with a check, you can leave with a new car, trade it in. So when you're ready to buy new or used cars, go to TrueCar, look at that scattergram, lock in the price for a car that's on a TrueCar certified dealer's lot, and you'll have a more confident car buying experience. And when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, all you got to do is go to TrueCar today and check out the TrueCash offer. My local TrueCar certified dealer.
All right. Let's see. You can check out me up on stage in January. That'd be the 24th. Irvine Improv with David Zucker from Creator of Airplane and Beyond. All the Naked Guns and everything. We're going to do Airplane and the movie that inspired Airplane. The real movie that inspired it, which was not Airport 76. It was another movie.
Oh.
It's interesting. I thought it was those movies, but it was another movie altogether. You can also go to amcroll.com and check out anything you want. Oh, it's called Zero Hour. Thank you, Gary. And you can check out some Corolla Racing merch at corollaracing.com. What do you got, Drew?
Go to doctor.com, check out the family pods we have there, get this Life Swap Patrol, check it all out.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. We'll be right back.
This is Corolla Digital.